Welcome to Two Idiots and a Dog, Idiots Unleashed.
Insert witty opening line.
Insert sardonic reply.
We're just phoning this shit in, aren't we?
Shh! It totally would have worked until you said something. Fuck!
I'm Grim.
I think I'm Zolgar. Kaiju apparently doesn't love me because she's not in here with me.
It's a terrible thing for you to say. She loves you dearly, but you are not comfy sofa.
Just a quick warning. This is an uncensored podcast, so you may hear adult language or other content not suited for children, the workplace, church, or, frankly, human consumption.
This week, our topic is animal companions in media. Submitted by... Who the fuck?
This would have been submitted by Random Warrior.
Well, if you have an idea for a topic for us, you can let us know on our Discord or social media, but you can only vote in the topic poll on Discord, now that we're actually doing topic polls again.
Yeah, we were kind of terrible about that for a while. A
little bit.
Now, stand back.
Because the idiots are about to be unleashed. As if we weren't already.
Episode contents go here.
Well, that's it for this week. Hold on. What? Okay, our non-existent production staff are telling us that that's taking the joke too far and we have to actually do a video. Which is weird because we don't do videos. Oh, they mean a podcast episode. Okay.
Wait, this is a podcast?
Apparently.
Nobody told me. I thought we were just sitting here bullshitting.
I don't know. Don't ask me. I just live here. All right. Animal companions. What would our greatest heroes be without the love and support of their dearest animal companions? But before we get into it, our definition of animal companion is a animal, meaning non-person. Now, this can be an intelligent animal, but they still have to be an animal. Companion. This means that this isn't just an animal character. This is somebody who goes with the protagonist on their journey.
Not necessarily with the protagonist, because at least one of the ones that I have in here is not for the protagonist, but...
Point is, goes with...
That the animal character has an integral part in the story.
Is actually goes along for the ride. So, for example, even though he's a good boy, the dog from John Wick 2 doesn't really count because he stays at the hotel.
Because John Wick, very understandably, does not want to expose his new dog to danger because he doesn't want to lose another doggo.
I mean, we saw what happened after he lost the first one. Jesus Christ. What happens if he loses two in a row? I don't want to find out. They're running out of mooks. All right, so I am going to start this non-list, non-scripted episode off with a kind of bit of a cop-out because it's a 3-in-1. We're going to be taking a look at one of my favorite actual play properties. So if you don't know, an actual play is a podcast or video series or what have you that shows a group of players and or GM actually playing a tabletop RPG. In this case, we're talking about the one everybody's fucking heard of, Critical Role.
If somehow you haven't heard of Critical Role, I am surprised you know what a podcast is, honestly.
But no, really, like, are you okay? Do you require assistance?
All right, well, start rambling about that because I have nothing to add to it because I have never listened to an episode of Critical Role in my life.
So the one that everybody knows the most is, of course, Trinket, the bear from Campaign 1, also featured in The Legend of Vox Machina.
Oh yeah, they had a bear in that.
There was a bear, yeah. Admittedly, Season 1, his presence was a little truncated, but they were fitting a whole bunch of stuff into one season.
Are you sure it wasn't truncated?
With my deepest apologies to Laura Bailey and Matt Mercer.
God!
So Trinket has the distinction of not only being the animal companion of one of the main characters, but has also been featured as a protagonist in some of the one-shots. particularly in the Honey Heist series of one-shots. He is a bear. His person is a ranger named Vex. And yeah, he's a bear. Like, I don't know what you're fucking looking for here. He's a bear. They got him bear armor.
Why do you got to keep bringing up his sexuality that way?
Not that kind of bear. That would be a very different show.
But maybe he is also that kind of bear.
That's possible. I don't know if his sexuality has ever come up, to be honest. So moving on to campaign two, we have Sprinkle the Weasel, animal companion to Jester Lavore. Sprinkle has seen some shit.
Sprinkle the Weasel sounds like a euphemism.
Well, considering he belongs to Jester, you know, the cleric, the trickster cleric of the Traveler who draws dicks on everything, including other temples. All I'm saying is, man, when we finally get to that Mighty Nein series, you're going to be just, you'll either love or hate those fucking weirdos. I'm just saying. Yeah, Sprinkle's main feature is heavily traumatized. The Mighty Nein got up to some fucking hijinks. And poor Sprinkle was along for the ride, whether he wanted to be or not. They actually did a one-shot of familiars where one of them played Sprinkle, and his whole thing is he was trying desperately to get the fuck away from the Mighty Nein. But of course, at the end of the thing, he ended up back with them because, you know. And now we come to campaign three, where we have the animal companion of the Fawn, Circle of Flame? Circle of Fire? I don't remember the exact name. Druid, the fire monkey named Little Mister. So Fern's fire spirit companion takes the shape of a burning monkey. It's exactly as chaotic as it sounds. But here's the part that most find amusing. Apparently at one point during the campaign, Fern gets him a gun. So you have a fire monkey with a gun.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
I mean, yeah, but an amusing one, viewed from a distance. A long distance.
By the way, it's Circle of Wildfire.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's what I was thinking it was, but I just checked because...
Okay.
It makes a lot of sense for it to be Circle of Wildfire because Wildfire is actually an important integral part of the natural order of things. A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah, it's actually very important for growth. Otherwise, the forest overgrows and plants start choking each other out.
Yeah, well, especially because the small things will choke out the bigger things, and then you start getting like lots of dead trees, and then all of a sudden, when a wildfire happens, it's a big, huge, massively destructive flame that basically makes an entire mountain barren. By the way, can you tell I live in the desert where we deal with wildfires?
And that you're a pyro who likes fire? A lot.
A little bit.
So, yeah, I couldn't remember the name of it because no shade on the class, but I have never played a druid.
I have played a druid in 5th edition, but it's been a long time. It was before Circle of Fire existed.
Or you absolutely would have been Circle of Fire.
Oh, yes. Although, Circle of the Moon is also up there for me because shapeshifting.
Mm-hmm. Fucking furries. You see what I have to work with?
All right, so I think our next one, I unfortunately don't know their names. I can't seem to find them easily, but I can at least find the character who owns them's name. Sophia's dogs from John Wick 3.
They were very good boys.
So... You notice how we don't include John Wick's dogs, because John Wick leaves the dogs at home where they're safe. Sophia takes her dogs out with her, and they are badass dogs.
Nobody tells Ilgar about the first dog.
It's home safe. He was just sleeping. He was just sleeping.
You're just having a nap the whole first movie. You bet, buddy. They're there. Yeah, they're actually very badass. Apparently on set, you had to be very careful about how you approached Holly Berry.
Yeah, because she was part of the training them. She was actively involved in training those dogs, which is awesome. But yeah, they were well-trained attack dogs. And dude, some of the shit they did.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They were very well trained and very well behaved, but they were very territorial about their person.
And they were, because they were like, I think there was in total four of them, even though there were only two dogs in the movie.
Yeah. And you had to be very careful about how you moved when you were with them and her. But they were very good, and they did some really cool shit. Yeah, good entry.
And by the way, even though one of them gets shot, he's got a bulletproof vest, so those dogs do actually survive the movie.
Yeah, it's like the whole franchise was kicked off by one dog biting it, and then they went, okay, so we can't do that again, or the fan base will, well, go John Wick on us.
Also, I would like to see a spinoff movie of Sophia and her dogs.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. All right, keeping the dog theme going, I'm going to go with one of my favorite from childhood. That is Ace the Bat Dog from Batman Beyond. It's old man Bruce getting on in his years. Alfred is, you know, gone by this point because old man Bruce. So Bruce gets himself a dog.
Are we sure that Alfred is actually mortal?
I don't want to find out. I'm too afraid to ask.
Alfred is another one of those that I think that is immortal simply because death is scared of him.
Death comes up for Alfred, finds Alfred loading a shotgun, just that Hot Fuzz meme. Shame.
That's also the real reason that Bruce has survived so many things.
Death is scared of him.
No, Death isn't scared of Bruce. Death is scared of Alfred.
Pretty much. But Ace is a very large territorial black dog who has clearly been combat trained. And Terry, the new Batman, even takes him out in the field once, hence companion. And even takes out a bat guy to earn the praise from Batman of good bat dog. Ace was not in the action most of that series, but he was always by Bruce's side, unless he was with Terry. And his presence was always felt. And we actually revisit that throughout the comics later on when Damian Wayne starts collecting bat animals and goes vegan.
Bat cat, bat rat.
Bat cow.
But was there a bat bat?
I'm sure there was a bat bat somewhere. Whole cave full of them.
All right. I think for the next one, we're going to go with one that's a little bit sad. Bubastis. I may have mispronounced that, but...
You definitely mispronounced that because we are way too white.
That would be Ozymandias's mutated lynx from Watchmen.
Fuck that prick.
Which, if you've never seen nor read Watchmen, Ozymandias actually ends up using his cat as bait for Dr. Manhattan and kills his cat in an attempt to kill Dr. Manhattan.
Did I mention fuck that prick?
Yeah, definitely fuck that prick. Though, interestingly, there is actually a bit of a fan theory that Bubastis eventually reconstitutes the way Dr. Manhattan did. So we have Manhattan Cat.
Cat Hatton? Mancatton. Somebody trademark that now.
The actual one that people have used for that is Dr. Meow Hatton.
Oh, fucking course they did. God almighty.
But it was a really cool cat. Honestly, the effects of it for the movie were great. But yeah, fuck Adrian Veidt.
Fuck him right in the fucky bits. I'm going to go with another one. I'm going to go back to dogs.
Yay, dogs.
I mean, we are two idiots and a dog after all. Is it any surprise that there's going to be a lot of dogs on our animal companion episode?
Well, also, dogs make the best companions.
So... we're going to be stepping into the world of novels for a moment. I know, books. Actual books, like written words on a page. Very scary. I know. It's okay. We won't be here long. And that's going to be Mouse from the Dresden Files, who is the bestest boy.
Yeah. Mouse is honestly one of the best parts of that series.
We've discussed in private, Dresden Files has a few problems here and there, but it still remains one of my personal favorite urban fantasy series.
I mean, I still like it. I don't know if I'm going to continue reading it after Battleground.
Yeah, we've had that conversation too, and I get it.
What's going to happen is you're going to get the next book. I will borrow it from you. I'm not going to buy it myself, though.
Is your interest in the Dresden Files off fighting crime along with Jim's hair?
Something like that.
So, Mouse is not a normal dog.
Mouse is a temple dog.
It is believed that they have Fu dog ancestry, which is a mystical folklore dog creature out of Chinese mythology. They are stalwart protectors, divine beasts.
Massive.
And so Mouse in particular is a Tibetan Mastiff. Feel free to Google that. We'll wait. No, that's not a picture of a bear. That's the dog. I promise.
And in the novels, he is presented as being extremely intelligent.
There's one point where they actually get transformed into dogs temporarily, and he manages full speech that they can actually understand while they're in dog form.
The implication is that he's always been able to fully speak, they just haven't been able to understand him.
Yep. That is not the least of his abilities, though. At one point, a apartment complex catches fire because Dresden draws destruction down upon himself like a magnet. And of course, crowded apartment building full of people who live there, fire, that's a bad thing. Alarms not working because magic and technology don't mix, bad thing. Also, I think there was also a magical sleep thing going on, if I'm remembering right. Like a low-level sleep thing. I don't remember exactly. It's been a while. But Mouse lets out a single bark that you feel in your chest. And everybody in the apartment building wakes up, and the sprinklers are running and everything. And they're like, oh, there's a fire. We have to get out. This was not a normal bark. This was a mystic effect. Because as a temple dog, his job would have been to alarm his temple. The best part of it is, Mouse picked him.
Yep.
He saved a bunch of temple dog puppies as part of a job, returned the puppies to the monk, got back in his car, got like partway home, and realized he had a stowaway. And whenever he tried to get a hold of the monk, he just either could never reach him, or I think at one point finally goes, the dog's where he's supposed to be. But again, been a while. Some memory may be incorrect here. But he basically winds up keeping him and names him Mouse because he's such a tiny little dog. After all, how big could he be? Cue Tibetan Mastiff.
Back when he first found Mouse, or Mouse found him more appropriately, Mouse was the runt of the litter and small enough to fit in the pocket of Dresden's trench coat.
Yep. Mouse is a good boy.
And in fact, I think that's actually how he ended up as a stowaway, because that one kept being a problem, and Dresden finally just shoved it in the pocket and then forgot about it when he delivered the box.
I don't remember. It's been a while, but, you know, he was a good dog. He's a very good dog. Definitely one of the highlights of the series, for sure. And then this next one I think we're just going to share. Because we both have a strong interest in this franchise.
Now, here's the question. Which version are we talking about?
Yes.
So, this is kind of a, what, 6-1 at this point? 7-1?
Well, I know for sure 3, 4. Was he in Tactics?
I believe you could get dogs in Tactics.
And it don't remember if he was in New Vegas or not, but in case you haven't figured it out by now.
Dog meat.
The bestest boy in the post-apocalyptic wastelands of Fallout.
And there has been some form of dog companion in, I believe, every single Fallout.
Just about. If not all of them, then damn near all of them. My personal favorite incarnation is Fallout 4, where he is a much more fleshed out companion. But he doesn't quite count as a full companion. So even if you're going for the Lone Wanderer perk, you can still have your bestest boy with you. There's been a lot of speculation on if that was by design or if it was just a bug that they never bothered to fix. But Dogmeat's been there since the very first game. It just wouldn't be the Wastelands without him, you know?
Wasn't in one of the Fallout games the dog a robot dog?
No, but there were robot dogs in New Vegas DLC.
Okay, let's see. Dogmeat was in Fallout and Fallout 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think the dog in...
I know he was in Fallout 3 as well.
And yeah, you get a dog in Fallout 4. Yeah, in fact, the dog in Fallout 4 is named Dogmeat.
Yep.
There's actually a lot of dogs in the entire in the Fallout franchise, not just companions, but other ones too.
Yeah, there's a lot of dogs. And it means that, you know, Dogmeat is the best boy. If you need to go through the radioactive wasteland, you can't have a better boy by your side than Dogmeat. I'm telling you.
Indeed. And of course, way back in the day, playing Fallout 1, Dogmeat was an idiot in Fallout 1. That dog was so stupid.
Oh, don't worry. He's still dumb in 4.
And also, Fallout 1 was back when you had no control over your companions. Your companions acted completely independently of your, of you. So they were your allies, they worked with you, but you could not control them at all.
Yep.
And I had a run where I was constantly having to like save every 5 minutes and then reload because... at a certain point near the end, Dogmeat's just like constantly running into things and getting himself killed. And it's just like, nope, reload.
Save scum. We're save scumming this. The dog lives.
Pretty much.
Yeah, they sort of fixed that by the time 4 rolls around in that your companions can be put down, but they, as long as you heal them in time, well, on lower difficulties, they cannot permanently die, period. And on higher difficulties, if you heal them in time, they're fine. Which is good, because Dogmeat was dumb as bricks. I cannot tell you the number of times I've thrown a grenade into a group of enemies, and then he decides that's the group he needs to go melee and bite. And gets hit by my grenade, and I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. This was a recurring problem with the companions in Fallout 4, but... yeah, I love Fallout 4, but it's not a perfect game, and honestly, there is no perfect Fallout.
Fallout 2.
Even 2 had its problems. Stop rose-tinting that shit.
Fallout 2 is a perfect game.
No, it is not. It's a good game.
I know the perfect Fallout.
You're going to make me stab you, aren't you?
Now, most people, with my sarcasm, think I'm going to say 76. But no.
Nope, I know exactly which one you're going for, and I'm going to stab you.
Brotherhood of Steel.
I'm going to stab you.
So, slight tangent here. Brotherhood of Steel is actually so bad, most people do not even acknowledge it in the franchise. And I am not talking Fallout Tactics Brotherhood of Steel. This was a PlayStation-era console game called Fallout Brotherhood of Steel.
Could you come here for a minute?
No. If you want to stab me, you got to get off up your lazy ass and come do it yourself.
You know what? No. Instead, I'm just going to go to the next entry.
Who's the next entry? Or is that on me?
I think that's yours. I think we're now down to you.
All right.
I don't know how many more you have left, but I can probably squeeze one more out of my brain if I need to.
Let's see. Let's go with, you know, another one that's going to be kind of shared here.
Oh, yeah?
Appa from Avatar.
Yip, yip. What, no Momo? No Momo, you're a monster. Do you see what I have to work with?
I wonder, does Sokka count as an animal companion?
Now we're back on track.
Honestly, I think Momo is smarter.
There were times. Hey, anybody remember the cactus thing? God. Or how many times Toph would just absolutely fuck with him. Hey, look, over there is what it'll sound like when one of you sees the thing. And then she just moves her hand in front of her eyes because blind. Tava's my favorite, can you tell? But she's not an animal companion. And if you call her an animal companion, she will, in fact, kick your ass, you dunderheads. By the way, I'm still to this day convinced they had her say dunderheads because they couldn't let her say fuckheads.
Pretty much. Well, I think it actually would have been shitheads, but...
Yeah, Appa, back to Appa, though. Appa is a sky bison, which means he's a flying six-legged bison with a giant, flat, paddle-like tail covered in the softest fur imaginable.
And he is best boy.
He is. And there was a long period where they genuinely thought he was the last sky bison. But they managed to find a wild herd, like, deep up in the mountains.
Yep. Which is why Korra, when the Air Nation begins rebuilding, there are, like, sky bison.
Yep.
We should do an episode on that series sometime.
Yeah, we should.
Well, if you think Momo should be listed, why should Momo be listed?
I mean, he's smarter than Sokka.
That doesn't take much.
I know that bar's in the dirt, but come on. Momo is a companion because he goes on all of their adventures. He is frequently in the thick of it, even if he scampers out of the way of combat most of the time. His shenanigans and antics have moved the story along more than once. And I will remind you that in Tales of Ba Sing Se, we get an entire story that is just Momo and Appa.
True.
Although, fucking Iroh's story still punches me in the gut every time.
And remember, there is no war in Ba Sing Se.
Sorry, I was just having a moment for Uncle Iroh. But he's not an animal companion either, even though he is a fucking beast when he chooses to be. God damn!
And also, I think one of the best characters across that entire franchise.
Easily.
I love how they brought him back in Korra.
Me too. It was great. How many more you got?
I think I only have one more.
All right, I think I can squeeze one more out, and then we'll do yours, and then we'll kind of wrap this up a bit. Like, this is a great topic. It really is. And it was a great suggestion. For, like, anybody but us, we're idiots.
Well, and it probably would have been a little bit better if we'd taken a little bit more time to, like, prep and think about it, but...
We kind of got some shit going on.
Yeah, the things happening in Idiot Central are, let's just say we got some stresses going on right now.
So you know that joke ending for Silent Hill 2 where he finds out everything was a Shiba Inu at a fucking control board? It feels like someone set the Shiba Inu loose on us right now. Let's leave it at that. Also, if you don't know what I'm talking about, look that shit up. It's a real secret ending for Silent Hill 2. I shit you not.
Fucking memes.
No. That's Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. It's a completely different franchise. I can only imagine the blank look on his face right now since we're no longer recording in the same room. But to, like, one person in our audience, I bet that was fucking hilarious.
So you mean half our audience?
Pretty much. All right. I'm going to do a deep cut. I'm going to go back to a really bad old movie that I still love to this day. Kodo and Podo from Beastmaster. That's right, it's a twofer because these little bastards come as a pair. Kodo and Podo are the little rascals that made me fall in love with ferrets. There are actually two different Kodos and Podos throughout the franchise of Beastmaster because Kodo and Podo, the original pair of ferrets, did not make it through their first movie, unfortunately. But he's got fresh new ferrets ready to go for the sequel. And for those that don't know, the Beastmaster is about a sword and sorcery Conan-style hero whose special thing is he forms deep, meaningful bonds with his animal companions, which include a bird of some kind, Kodo and Podo, and some kind of big cat that changes from one movie to the next, probably because they got tired of trying to dye tigers. Fun fact, most of the Black Panthers you see in the early fucking movies are actually dyed tigers because tigers are easier to train. However, they don't like being dyed. Go figure.
Fun little Hollywood factoid for you there.
So wait, does that mean Chadwick Boseman is a tiger?
Get the fuck out. You're fired. I'll find another idiot. I don't care anymore. Goddamn.
So anyway, the Beastmaster, a.k.a. Dar, refers to Kodo and Podo as his little thieves because that is literally their job. They're small, they're flexible, they're two brats. Come on, you've seen two brats. Listen, if you haven't gone down to your local PetSmart or other pet store and played with the ferrets, are you even living? You know what? If you haven't, go to your local pet store right now. We'll wait.
What if their local pet store is closed when they're listening to this?
Well, then we'll all wait for them to open in the morning together.
Are they open yet?
No. Well, I guess since we're waiting for the pet store to open, why don't we go ahead and do your last entry?
All right. So this one's probably not going to be a surprise to many people. Jonesy. If somehow you don't know which one I'm talking about, that is the cat from Alien.
Fucking cat responsible for like 2 out of 3 jump scares throughout the whole damn movie.
Yep. No, there were 4 jump scares in the movie.
2 cats, 1 ceiling. What's the 4th?
The egg.
Yeah. All right. I don't really consider that a jump scare. We've had that conversation. Which, if you don't know what we're talking about, we actually did an episode of Idiots on Film about Alien. Go check it out.
And the egg is definitely a jump scare. When I got to see that in the theater, because for like the 30th or 35th or whatever anniversary, like 80% of the audience jumped, even though every single one of us knew it was coming.
Yeah, but if you know it's coming, it's not a true jump scare. Anyway, we had this argument during Alien, okay? We're not having it again.
And arguably, Jonesy is also responsible for at least one of the character deaths.
Yeah. Yeah. Kinda. I mean, the argument could be made. However, Jonesy is still the best cat.
Bestest kitty. In fact, really, you could even argue that he's responsible for several of the deaths because several of the deaths happen when they're off looking for Jonesy, so that they don't mistake his movement for the movement of the alien.
Well, and the whole problem is if they'd been paying attention to Jonesy from the start, Jonesy would have been their early detection system. But no, they were stupid.
Yep.
I think we brought up some of this in the Alien episode as well.
Probably. I mean, but, you know, I'll take any excuse I can to talk about any of the Alien movies.
Pretty much. Well, I think we've proven that, at the very least, animal companions are a strong element that really speaks with audiences in a lot of media. I mean, we just talked about movies, video games, cartoons, novels.
Comic books.
Comics.
Graphic novels.
Actually, Watchmen was originally a comic book. It originally released in 12 standard comic book issues.
Yeah, but you know someone was going to say it.
And if they were going to try to say that, they're wrong.
You come into our house? You fool! At the end of the day, there is something about animals that appeals to human nature. And the fact of the matter is, this is true in real life as well. I mean, how many of you listening have pets? We have kaiju. Or does kaiju have us?
Well, that does bring something up. We did forget the bestest animal companion in all of media.
Kaiju.
Kaiju. How could we not bring up kaiju?
Because kaiju's here already and everybody knows that she's the bestest girl. We didn't need to do it. I mean, really, this is her show. We're just kind of along for the ride. Would that make us the animal companions?
Maybe.
Huh. I'm going to have to think about that one. Well, while I ponder that existential crisis, I think that's it for this week.
And you know, if you feel like letting us know your favorite animal companion, feel free to do that on social media, or you can join our Discord server to talk about it.
And if you like what we do, please give us a like, follow, rating, all that nonsense on your favorite podcatcher. You can also support us on Patreon for special bonus content and episodes a week early, or tip us on Ko-fi. You can find those and our social media platform and Discord server in the show notes. So if you do want to sound off to us about your favorite animal companion, you can find out where to do it there.
Also, be sure to give our friends some love. Who are we talking about this week?
I don't know, but whoever they are, they're probably idiots.
Probably.
Welcome to Shatsunami, a variety podcast that talks about topics from gaming and films to streaming and general interests.
Previously on Shatsunami, we discussed Game of the Decade, Deadly Premonition, the romantic thriller, Birdemic, and listen to us get all sappy as we discuss our top five Christmas films.
If that sounds like your cup of tea, then you can find us on Anchor, Spotify, YouTube, and all good podcast apps. As always, stay safe,
stay awesome, and most importantly,
stay hydrated.
Last, but certainly not least, we want to give a quick shout-out to all of our supporters on Patreon and Ko-fi, especially these idiots.
Random Warrior, Rain, and the perpetually banned Athen Mortis.
You know what you did.